Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Chris Graham and Scott German from the press box at Scott Stadium. Scott, get your head in here if you would. We've got to share the space here. We haven't done this in quite a while. Virginia, the final score, 42-14 win over Illinois on a day when Virginia came into this game favored, I will say, by only 10. And getting the impressive win, scoring a couple touchdowns early. It was interesting for just a brief bit of the third quarter. Illinois scored on the first drive of the third quarter to make it 21-14. Virginia pulling away from there. 558 yards of offense for Virginia, 405 yards passing, 5 touchdowns for Brennan Armstrong, and the defense holding Illinois to 289 yards total offense on the day. Great performance by both sides.
Yeah, and we did what we needed to do, Chris. We got out to a quick start, 2 scores within the first 5 minutes of the quarter, of the first quarter, and we really never really, I think Illinois came within 14-7, but
14-7, 21-14 in the third quarter.
21-14, but that quick start, I think, kind of set the tone for the game.
Yeah, Virginia answered that early third quarter touchdown, a 9-play, 75-yard drive on Virginia's first possession of the third quarter, capped by a 2-yard touchdown pass to Billy Kemp, and that opened it up to a 2-score game again and kind of rolled from there. But, you know, we saw Scott today. You know, last week, 43-0 win over Wayman Mary. Of course, that's what you kind of expect. You don't get too excited about a win like that over a 1AA team. 42 points today against this team and left some points on the field. There was a fumble at the 20-yard line by Wayne Talapampa. There was an interception at the 1-yard line on a throw that could have gone either way. They actually went to instant replay, pass that was intended for Keaton Thompson and was ruled an interception at the end of that. And then he missed 2 field goals. That's the only part, really, because even the punting went pretty well. I had the punting stats up earlier, but the punting actually went pretty well for Virginia today, averaging 46.7 yards a punt. And they only had to punt once during the part of the game where this was really still a game. They had to punt twice in garbage time. But Justin Dinkel missing 2 field goal attempts, and that was when the game was still a game. He missed from 46 yards. It could have put Virginia up 17-0. And then after that score by Illinois made it 14-7, he missed a chip shot, 31-yard field goal that could have made it 17-7. So the only thing you come out of today thinking you need to really work on is that special teams part, that one particular part of special teams, the kicking game.
Yeah, like you say when we're talking about Virginia basketball, we often say Tony likes to have a few things to pick on and work on. And I think that's what you take out of this game, special teams play or the kicking game, leaving a couple of field goals, missing a couple of field goals. But overall, you know, you can't really be too disappointed about this because this is, I don't think there's anyone that expects Illinois to be in the Big Ten title. They're not.
They were picked 7th in their divisions out of 7 teams, yes.
They're not a great Big Ten team, but they're still a physical Big Ten team. We saw some unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, got a little testy late in the game. That's what you expect. They still recruit Big Ten players, exactly. And so I'm sure Coach is going to be very pleased with this performance. And, you know, we keep Armstrong healthy. This could be a pretty special year.
The one concern, you talk about keeping Brennan healthy, we didn't see exactly what happened, but he was in the medical tent a couple of times in the third and fourth quarters. I think, well, maybe fourth quarter. I think what happened, and I didn't see it directly, but that fumble by Talapampa around the 20-yard line, the ball actually bounced back towards the where the pocket would be. And I'm thinking maybe he dove into the pile trying to pick up that fumble. That's the only thing I could think because he came off the field, was in the tent, kind of walked out a little gingerly. Then he got on the exercise bike and was riding between series when the offense was on the sidelines. He got back in the game, though, actually led 2 drives and was impressive there. But, you know, we'll certainly be looking for that. I know that from talking with Dr. Dedup last week on the Jerry Ratcliffe Show podcast, we learned that Sunday is injury day. And starting around noon, the guys who have any nicks, any bruises, anything like that, will be showing up here to Bryant Hall and getting whatever medical treatment they need. And we'll hope to hear from Bronco on Monday. He's talking right now as we're talking to the media. But we'll hope to hear something more concrete maybe Monday from Bronco about the health of Brennan Armstrong. But it didn't look like really anybody else went down to any kind of anything major. And so that's, you know, you get a big win over a Big Ten team and come out healthy. That's about as best case scenario as you can get.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. Of course, we weren't here last year. I mean, together. I can't remember a game that I saw fewer injuries, fewer players
for both sides. Yeah.
For both sides.
Yeah.
And the Armstrong injury, I do think you're correct when that happened late in the game on the fumble. Other than that, it wasn't like Armstrong was running for his life today.
No.
Didn't seem, you know, turned to the ground, wasn't sacked.
I don't think he was sacked,
no,
yeah.
He was not.
No sacks. Virginia had 3 sacks, and he wasn't really pressured that much.
There was some chatter of why he was in the game after, you know, hobbling a little bit. But you can't tell me. The coaching staff is not aware of that. If they thought there was any significant injury there, they would have had him out. It was a team that's got 4 or 5 quarterbacks. It's not like we were the coverage bearer on that. And at that point in the game, we could have just handed off. But so I'm not really going to worry about that all that much. I think it may have just been a little, maybe a tweak.
Maybe he was certainly mobile enough to do what he needed to do on those 2 drives leading the team down the field.
And he threw a touchdown pass.
He threw a touchdown pass, right. Jelani Woods, we saw him last week in brief action. We had 15 snaps last week. We don't know what injury he went down to last week, but he only caught 1 pass, only 1 target last week. Today we saw why he is the difference maker we was told he was going to be. 5 catches on 6 targets, actually 122 yards. But man, oh man, when he is in the middle of the offense, when he's coming off the line, actually lined up at a slot receiver a couple times. But when he's out there, he is a matchup nightmare. One time he was lining up in the slot, they put a cornerback on him, and all Armstrong did was stare him down. He looked at him, didn't look anywhere else, threw it to him because he's 6'7". He had almost a foot on the guy covering him, probably 100 pounds on the guy covering him, and he made an easy catch. But when he lined up more on the line at traditional tight end position, he ran right up the field. One-on-one with the safety is not fair with him either. We could see what happens there. When teams like Carolina next week, for example, when we start getting the meat of the schedule and teams have to put 2 guys on him, that's going to make it the guys wide out. Billy Kemp, Dontavian Wicks, Rashawn Henry are going to have one-on-one on the ends because you've got to account for Jelani Woods in the middle of the field.
Yeah, we present a lot of matchup problems for teams. And, you know, if you're North Carolina, you go out, you open your season in Blacksburg, you look terrible. They're not really getting a challenge tonight. I think they play Georgia State
tonight, right?
So then you got to prepare all of a sudden starting tomorrow or Monday, whenever they start, for this Virginia team that has thrown out. We saw a wrinkle tonight we haven't talked about yet, where Thompson came across the middle of the field, got under center.
Yeah, he was in motion from the left side as a receiver. He went under center. He went under center for maybe 2 seconds and faked like he was going to take the snap. They continued in motion. Illinois had no idea what to do.
How do you prepare for that?
I think it was Wicks who caught the little touchdown pass there. There's nothing you can do because you've never seen that before. And now Carolina has prepared for that.
Yeah, so we talked about the opening game, our opener against William & Mary on offensive coordinator Robert and I threw everything including the kitchen sink. Well, today threw everything including the kitchen sink and the refrigerator.
Yeah.
At the Illini. So how do you prepare for Virginia if you're Carolina? And I just can't wait for that game. I think that's going to be just a fascinating matchup.
Another thing we saw today we didn't see last week: Dontavian Wicks threw a pass. Now, of all the quarterbacks, he's not a quarterback; he's a receiver. But he got the ball on a reverse and actually threw a pass.
That our stat broadcast that we follow throughout the game, which gives us up-to-date stats for the longest time, may still have it, has that recorded as Armstrong to Armstrong.
Yeah, Brennan Armstrong caught the pass for an 18-yard gain. And yeah, I guess it was a left-handed quarterback because Wicks is a left-handed thrower. And the stat broadcast registered it as Brennan Armstrong throwing an 18-yard pass to Brennan Armstrong, which – He might be that good. I'm not quite sure he's that good.
If he's that good, then he's going to be in New York in December.
Hey, he's your ACC first-team quarterback
through
2 weeks. What was his rating today? Was 209.8, 27 of 36, 405 yards, 5 touchdowns, the 1 INT on a disputed call. He had 31 yards on the ground. He had 18 yards receiving. Wayne Talapapa, Scott, I got to give it to you now. You put the over-under yesterday in our podcast. Carries by an actual running back. Over under at 10. I said under, and you know, I guess that was your over under. So I guess it was a push because he had 10 carries for 35 yards today. Also a touchdown catch for Talapapa.
And I think a couple of those would have come in what you would consider garbage time.
Maybe. Well, there was a lot of garbage time in this game, even with the first team offense out there. I'm looking at the count real quick. 14, 18 carries, 19. Ronnie Walker got in the game too. Scroll up here real quick. 19 of the score right here. I'm gonna see how many total runs we had. Total attempts runs. 33. 19 of the 33 runs were actually by running backs. That's an improvement over last week. Last week was 11 out of 32 were by the running back. So, but you had Armstrong running it 5 times, Thompson running it 4 times, and Armstead running it 4 times. Actually, nothing today for Jacob Rodriguez in terms of carries. Last week he had 4 carries for 31 yards. So, looking at the receivers, I mentioned Jelani Woods, 5 catches on 6 targets, 122 yards. Billy Kemp, 6 catches, 6 targets, 55 yards. He was your possession guy again, had a touchdown catch. Keaton Thompson had a big day for a couple of different ways. 5 catches on 6 targets, 68 yards, also 24 yards and a touchdown on the ground. That was a nice run by him, 8-yard run, sort of breaking 3 or 4 tackles there in the red zone. Rashawn Henry, 3 catches, 74 yards, none of them for touchdowns. That's interesting. He had come into the game with 9 catches, career 5 touchdowns among them. Wicks, 3 catches, 69 yards, 2 touchdown catches on the day. And so there you got it. Defensively, scroll real quick to the top there for the defensive stats. I wanted to give, there were 4 guys with 7 tackles. If you click on defense right there, 4 guys with 7 tackles. Nick Jackson, middle linebacker, Noah Taylor, outside linebacker, also had a pass breakup, did Taylor, and also 2 sacks. What an all-around day for Noah Taylor. Antonio Clary and Joey Blunt, 2 safeties, both had 7 tackles as well. Anthony Johnson, 5 tackles, also had 2 pass breakups and an INT. I need to amend my story and add that because Johnson had an INT late in the game. And wanted to mention one other sack. Hunter Stewart had a sack in this game. Defense did great. I mean,
and the secondary played really well.
Yeah, the quarterback for Arthur Sikalski, 24 of 45, just 221. So 45 and a 221. Not even 5 yards an attempt. That would be 225. So just under 5 yards an attempt.
Thus the
97.5 rating.
I mean, at one time today, to show you how the numbers can be tricky, Armstrong was over a 300 quarterback rating and threw 2 completions, and his efficiency went down.
Yeah, he threw 2. One was a 23-yarder. Illinois ran for 116 yards on 27 carries, and Virginia's defense held the Illini to 6 of 17 on third downs and 0 of 2 on fourth downs. Virginia 4 of 10 on third, 1 of 1 on fourth downs. So, boy, that's a performance there. Both sides of the ball, really everything but the place-kicking game. This was a weird game in one respect. I noticed this, Scott. We talked about this during the game. No kick returns for either team. No kickoff returns. Yeah, it was all touchbacks. Yeah. Well, there was one that was a fair catch at the 1-yard line. Virginia actually tried to make Illinois return one late, but everything was basically a touchback in this game. So that's college football in 2021. So next week gets a little tougher. Going on the road to Chapel Hill with North Carolina. As you mentioned, they're playing Georgia State tonight. We really won't know much about the Tar Heels. They lost bad last week. I know it was only 17-10 the final score, but Virginia Tech owned that game. The game was not as close as that final score would indicate. They're going to play a cupcake tonight and next week. They're playing it sort of for their future. They lose that game, and they're out of the coastal race, and it's not even summertime yet.
Right, and the air of excitement is out of the football in Carolina, because then all of a sudden the Mike Brown, I mean the hullabaloo about the Tar Heels being a national title contender, that's gone away.
It's already gone away.
If you lose to Virginia, that ship has sailed.
Well, the national championship talk,
right,
which was already ridiculous, is already gone.
Right,
they're not coming back from that loss to Tech, but now. You lose this, you're not even going to go to a good bowl, and it's not even summertime yet. So that's a must win for Carolina.
If they lose next week in Chapel Hill, then it's basketball season officially.
And Roy ain't back. It's Hubert Davis taking over. So yeah, yeah. And a month till basketball practice even starts. So I guess what I'm pinning to there, and I think you're getting this too, Scott. Must win games. Teams come out, you know, you get back somebody into a corner. They come out fighting. They come out swinging. You're going to get a good shot from Carolina next Saturday night.
Yeah, but we play well in Chapel Hill. We won our last game there, which we had a quarterback, phenomenal quarterback in Perkins. But, you know,
we have a phenomenal quarterback now, too. Yeah, among the many that play for Virginia right now in this season.
Quarterbacks.
And football players.
Football players.
We have quarterbacks, football players. We got the monster tight end. And a defense that, again, last year, that was the weak point of this team. 5-5 finish in the the defense was the weak point. The secondary was the weak point of a weak point defense. And secondary is looking good through 2 weeks. Defense looking good through 2 weeks. The offense is hitting on all cylinders, averaging 42 and a half a game. It's early, but this is looking like a good Virginia team.
Yeah, and you know, I like to give credit to the guys that are on the field at the end of the game. That last drive by Illinois, our second team guys played well.
They didn't give them
a tackling garbage touchdown.
Yeah, kept it at 42-14. So that's your final score. Virginia 42, Illinois 14. Virginia covers, to say the least, the spread. For Scott German, I'm Chris Graham signing off. Everyone have a great Saturday.
Thank you for listening to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. Get the latest on the Hoos and up-to-the-minute local news, politics, and sports online at AugustaFreePress.com.